Afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Friday, July 29th, 2022. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I'd like to remind everyone, RBN is listener-supported, folks. Please do what you can to help out, because remember, free speech cannot exist without being funded by we, the people. You could use PayPal right on the RBN website donate page. You could also mail in your donation if you like. Cash, check, money order payable to RBN. Mailing address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And of course, you could always call the RBN staff here, folks. They always can take a moment out of their, albeit busy, multitasking schedule to get down your payment information in a polite and friendly manner. And of course, you could call in at 800-724-2719, extension 3. You're able to pay with credit or debit card. And this is, of course, Friday, therefore it is the Friday Roundtable here on Beyond the Official Narrative. I have a full panel, fortunately, once again for you folks. Let's see, we have Mr. Stephen Douglas Whitener here with us. That's, of course, host of the RBN broadcast Thought Crime Live, and that's 10 a.m. Central Saturdays. Welcome, Stephen.
Thank you, Richard. Hello, Mr. Stadmiller's neighborhood. Thanks very much for having me.
And then we have Paul Edward Stevenson. Paul, of course, is the RBN host of Last Man Standing, and that's a 12 a.m. Sunday, early Monday, Central Time here on RBN. Welcome, as always, Paul.
Hi, Richard. Hi, fellas. It's great to be with you, as ever.
Absolutely. And, folks, we have Jeremy from Kentucky, host of In Plain Sight. And of course, that is 9 p.m. Central, Monday through Friday. Do check out all these gentlemen's broadcasts. Welcome. Glad to have you back again, Jeremy.
Thank you. Glad to be here. I'm on a little extended lunch period from work, so I thought I would join the roundtable, see how you guys are doing.
Very nice. Very good. Very good. And I'm trying to just pick a few headlines, news article headlines to start the topics here. I noticed that a lot of platforms are covering this one. For example, we have a lot of FBI agent whistleblowers evidently admitting that the FBI agents are being encouraged and incentivized to reclassify cases as domestic extremism, basically to fit the Biden administration's narrative that white extremists are the greatest threat our country faces. So, you know, they're trying to cook all the numbers as much as possible. You know, kind of like when they pay different universities, organizations, what have you, regarding the global warming CO2 hoax and now nitrogen hoax. You know, you only get paid if you show data that supports their side of the argument. And that, of course, helps bolster this anti-white agenda. Jeremy, your thoughts first, please, sir.
Yeah, they're not even being secretive about it anymore. And it's interesting that it made the mainstream media and that they're actually having to report on this. It shows you how much the window has moved, the Overton window of allowed discussion. And, you know, I'm sure probably a lot of the public is not even aware of COINTELPRO and how this was standard operation up until the church hearings in, what, 74, where supposedly, you know, the FBI was brought to heel just a bit because they were being so blatantly violating the rights of American citizens by infiltrating, you know, Klan and communist groups and getting people to do crimes, often informants themselves doing the crimes and the entire group being blamed for it. So, yeah, this is par for the course, and I would just urge everybody to be very careful about who you associate with and make sure you vet them thoroughly before you get involved in any groups. I'm not saying don't get involved in groups. I'm saying be very careful. And I would personally, if you're in RBN, I would stick with, you know, people in the RBN audience, people that you know, that you can verify.
Stephen, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. It's ironic. I've just started reading this book from, I think it was 93, that the guy named Ronald Kessler wrote about the FBI. And it just started, but it goes back to when some of the things you said were reined in a little after the church hearings in 74. But and they went after that guy Sessions. And, you know, it seemed like back then for a while, it almost looked like journalism was taking place. But now everything's just been taken over to the point where, you know, you can't believe whatever you see. No justice anymore. It's just us, just them, the extortion and the COINTELPRO, just like you said. They are trying to paint a picture of their opposition, which the opposition of people who just can see the truth and know what's going on with them and calls out the corruption. So they want to label us as something else so that they can shut us up and people won't listen. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's the way it looks to me. And this, I don't know. So, you know, like Charlottesville, people got led into that trap. You know, they were like, Judas goats, I suppose you might call them. And we have to watch out for things like that too. I agree with Jeremy. Watch kind of, organizations get into. Yeah.
And how about overseas there in the UK? Paul, do you hear about a similar manipulation of data?
Data in what regard?
Well, in this case, they're trying to profile white people as the biggest terror threat.
You know, domestic
extremism and all this sort of thing.
Yeah, well, this is, you know, Merrick Garland came out and openly said this, and as much as we know it's going on, even that raised eyebrows. As Jeremy said, you know, they're moving the Overton window, and, you know, they're increasingly bold, but, you know, Joe Biden doesn't care about white people, or probably doesn't believe, or doesn't care, or probably he doesn't know what day of the week it is anyway, so, you know, it hardly matters what he says, but, you know, Merrick Garland's a Jew. And this is straight from Jews. All this is, but this anti-white stuff is Jewish. And they are, you know, dotting the I's and crossing the T's and consolidating their power and trying to squash any resistance from white people. But I, particularly in America, I think they've moved too quickly there. I think the demographics are not quite in their favor. And and to some extent, it's the same over here where they raise eyebrows. There was a, you won't find this surprising either, but there was a poster in London. You know, not graffiti we're talking about here. We're talking about this got the rubber stamp from the London mayor, which shouldn't surprise you. But, you know, London itself give the green light for this. Apparently it's art. And it's basically just a statement on a billboard. And it says, "Hey, straight white man, pass the power." And again, it won't surprise you, this is from some French black woman artist, I will put in quotes. And I don't really see how this is even, how you could defend this for one second as art. There's no art in it. I mean, it's just a statement. It says, "Hey, straight white man, pass the power." And annoyingly, I saw this in GB News where there was a couple of white guys saying they were outraged by this, and yet there was another white woman on there, blonde hair, blue eyed, beautiful white woman, arguing that this was art. Now, if this is art and we're going to be consistent, how about I say, okay, no more blacks in London, Muslims out, this is a Christian country. You know, would we have the same open-mindedness and say this is art?
That's a masterpiece.
Now, of course,
that's an absolute masterpiece.
Yeah, we don't want Muslims here, please. This is this is a white country, and I piss off. Of course, the double standards are everywhere. But you know, on shows like this, we move the Overton window as well. We talk about Jewish power. So, if they want to open up this Overton window, we can keep opening windows, and let's get it on. I say, but I think they've moved too quickly in America, and to some extent, it's a mixture of Jewish aggression and Jewish paranoia, where they have to. Let me give you a quote, because I quoted this. This is by a Jew, and he was talking, giving himself a pat on the back about how they were responsible for mass immigration into America, and he said, sorry, bear with me, I know I'm taking up a bit too much air time here. He said, writing for a Jewish publication, Er Rab, he called himself an ethnic activist, whatever that is, Jewish mumbo-jumbo for white hatred, noted that the Jewish community had taken a leadership role in changing the Northwestern European bias of American immigration policy, and also maintained that one factor inhibiting anti-Semitism in the contemporary U.S. is that an increasing ethnic heterogeneity as a result of immigration has made it even more difficult for a political party or mass movement of bigotry to develop. This guy, obviously, this is written 40 years after the State of Israel, is impervious to irony. But, you know, that's where they're at. You know, they look at all this immigration and this type of white hatred as a defense mechanism for themselves, and they call it a mass movement of bigotry to develop. So,
absolutely. Yeah, they don't think about how the native population is going to have a hostile confrontation. Just building to the boiling point more and more as the immigration continues. But no, from the Jewish perspective, being a stranger, you know, in a foreign land, they want to be one among many foreign strangers
because they know their history. They know their history in Europe, you see. That's why. Mm-hmm. They're terrified of a repeat of that. But if they'd behave themselves, there wouldn't be any fear, because who's restricting Jews? They can practice their religion. They can do what they want. They're not happy to practice their religion. They have to, like, get rid of Christianity. They have to call everyone else bigoted. They have to control everything. And then when you don't like it, you know, you're an anti-Semite.
A gentleman who'd like to pick
in
it up?
It reminded me of a video I saw from the UK, Paul, and it was an elder, well, someone my age, you know, older guy, and he was being put in handcuffs, and his crime was someone was offended by his Facebook post. So what they will do is they will make pointing these things out a crime. Then they literally have done that. I mean, when they do that, and you can't talk about something for, might as well look at it twice. Mm. That's all I'm saying.
Jeremy?
Yeah, well, that's what the online harms bill is about here. It basically bypasses the judicial system. So basically, you get a small group of people deciding that you're a criminal without due process because you've offended someone. And of course, this is designed to protect Jews. That's Jeremy. What it's all about. If you know, once you understand them, they're doing everything to consolidate as much power and to secure themselves as much as possible, because they know about the destruction they've caused, and they're in over their heads. So they've got they're in a panic mode, trying to get as much aggressive control as they possibly can.
And they're weaponizing the proxy armies of these other races against the host population. Jeremy wanted to make a point, I believe.
In that context that you all are pointing out here, it's very disturbing. Google handing over home security camera footage to police without a warrant and other data. Do you think that they're going to be, you know, of course they're not going to be monitoring the Crips and the Bloods or MS-13 or Muslim gangs in Europe and America. They're not going to be monitoring those. They're specifically saying that they're going to be monitoring, you know, white supremacist terrorists. And so
that don't exist.
Everything, yeah, it doesn't. Which a group that doesn't exist, but they'll form, they'll make it exist, and they'll have groups that they put together, you know, that are already in existence and infiltrated by the feds, and they'll monitor anybody that has anything to do with them, or even people that get on air or online and make comments that they deem dangerous. I mean, your Google is attached with everything. If you have a Gmail, if you're making comments on a private message in Facebook or Meta, you know, all of that is you can consider that monitored and logged. And so you got to really be careful what you say. But it is very disturbing. This article that Paul sent from or that Richard sent from Blacklisted News, Google and Amazon are letting police access data from smart home cameras without a warrant. So again, we have not the federal government necessarily violating our First Amendment, but private companies that can do whatever they want violating our rights. And then once the government gets that data, well, hey, we just got this data from, you know, a confidential source, and we're acting on it. So it's a, you know, it's going completely around, you know, our First Amendment rights and violating our rights as American citizens, just like they did back in the 60s.
Absolutely. It's, you know what, Jeremy, it's worse than the Soviet Union was, because they didn't have the technology to monitor in the Soviet Union. It's actually worse now, really, what they can do.
Well, yeah, in the Soviet Union, you got to be careful about who you're talking to, like in person, or who you write letters to. Of course, you know, a paper letter could be intercepted in that context. But right now, I mean, you and I, or any of us on the panel, could be texting or talking or emailing each other and thinking that we're, you know, talking to somebody that we trust, and they could intercept that, or they could intercept anything on the camera. I don't have any cameras in the house other than on the laptop and the phone, and I keep those closed, you know, when I don't need them. It's very important that you consider OPSEC in this matter.
Yeah,
that's true. But it's like your title of your show says, we're going to have to win this war in plain sight. We're going to have to take them on on the battlefield of ideas and point out that their facts are lies. And that, you know, that's the only way this thing will end.
They're violating us in plain sight.
Oh yeah, they're very bold. They're very bold.
And psychopathic too. The way they're ramping up now. It's not enough that they want to push Russia into a corner and threaten them. Now they want to start another war down in China. They're, you know, it's just anything they can ramp up more chaos, and part of it is just the terrortainment. But it's going to get, the economic situation will continue. Dominoes falling all around. You know, you started with Sri Lanka, and now Argentina and Pakistan is getting ready to implode. It seems it looks like they're falling. It doesn't look good.
No, it does. It's got World War written all over it. It really has.
And yeah, indeed. I think we're in the middle of it now. I don't really realize it. These will be considered the early days of it if a future history is ever written.
And the big tech censorship is ongoing as much as ever. Facebook is now even fact checking anyone who questions the White House's redefining what a recession is. That's how pathetic it is. Okay, so any topic is a fair game for the censorship and fact checkers.
Yeah, well, you know, they rolled out Janet Yellen to say, well, no, there's no recession. We've redefined. You know, it's just like this woman, man. Get this woman out of the country. Get her over to Israel, out of my face. You know, and she's basically the same woman who said there was no inflation, and then it's like, oh, inflation's transitory, and then, oh, I got it wrong, rather than admitting that I'm a criminal. And now it's the same woman who still apparently has the same credibility who's now changing the definition of what inflation is. You know, it's just like the temerity of these people is just staggering. I don't know how long the American people in the West are going to tolerate these criminals, you know?
I completely agree. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
We have the first break. I was just going to mention, gentlemen. So, yeah, if you could just hang tight, we have a couple of messages from our sponsors, and we will be right back.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey here with our full panel roundtable. Stephen Douglas Whitener, Paul Edward Stevenson, and Jeremy from Kentucky. And I noticed the World Health Organization is now calling for a sex lockdown because of monkeypox. We had none other than the fraud chief Tedros himself calling for an unprecedented sex shutdown amid fears this monkeypox is racing toward becoming an endemic STD. And so, yeah, the WHO is advising a sex lockdown among men who have sex with men. This is reducing number of sexual partners or reconsidering having sex with someone. They add that 98% of detected monkeypox cases are among men who have sex with men. So, but a sex lockdown, you know, it's just like, oh no, you know, the future of humanity. What will we do if we lose our gay population, you know?
That's just hateful, and it sounds like a thought crime to me. Come on, Richard, please. It's just, come on. There's a thing that went along with the AIDS crisis too, and it's just, it's kind of disgusting, but you know, some things are just not healthy. Okay, I'm sorry.
Instead of locking them down, why don't we just lock them up? So just round up all the homosexuals and put them in prison, because you're a danger to society, because your sexual practices are dangerous for society, and you're gonna end up killing a lot of people as well as yourself. So why not do that, and let's go back a few years and make homosexuality illegal again.
Jeremy. Yeah, well, for the last four decades, since they reclassified homosexuality, the AMA reclassified it from a mental disorder to a sexual preference. They've been pushing sodomy now on our children in the last couple of decades. They've been pushing it. You know, I see a lot of parallels with the AIDS pandemic in its early years. William and I covered this last night. I'm covering it on my show tonight. And you can pull up a 1981 New York Times article about the new homosexual, you know, disease that's plaguing homosexual men. And they called it GRIDS, you know, gay-related immune deficiency syndrome, because they recognized that in California, New Jersey, New York, that it was amongst the homosexual community and the junkies. And so remember, most of us don't remember, Stephen, you might, you're a little bit older than us. Mm-hmm. You know, we had to read the news about it. If you read that article, they were locking down bathhouses, closing them down. Mm-hmm. And you saw this similar thing. But then what happened? By the late 80s, when some of us were like 12 and 13, they had us scared to death. And they transitioned it, saying it's not no longer a gay disease. It's something that heteros can get. And you can get it from drinking after somebody or sitting on the toilet seat after somebody. I mean, they really was hyping it up. And I would say they're probably going to do the same thing now. They're having a little reaction now, and it looks like maybe they're targeting the gay community, but they're going to expand this to try to make all of us miserable just because of what these degenerate sodomites do with their bodies.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't even mean that. I don't think that's the answer to, like, criminalize homosexuality. But that story, it just angers me a lot. You know, it's the promotion of it. Like you say, it's this outright promotion of homosexuality, which is a tiny percentage of the population. It's an even tinier percentage when it comes to this transgender issue and all the rest of it. It's just unfortunate. It's indicative of the degenerate culture that we're living in. Yeah, I mean, that's just a disgusting story. It really is.
Well, I'm going to back you up. Real quick, I'm going to back him up in his hyperbole. Homosexuality was criminalized. Even in a lot of states, there were sodomy laws.
Oh, it was. Yeah, over here it was too at one point.
Yeah, there's a reason. There's a reason also why God prescribed the death penalty in the Old Testament, because of the diseases and not only the physiological problems, but the mental and emotional disorders that passes on.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, it is a massive problem, and especially when you start pushing it. But I still don't believe in criminalizing it, though.
If they weren't trying to sell it to the children, you know, incentivizing it even for adults, kind of like the affirmative action with job placement, forgetting meritocracy, everything. If they didn't try to sell it and convince a lot of people to move toward then you'd have barely any. You'd have hardly any gays, and even less of these transsexuals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a problem is the point. You know, like you would take the approach maybe that Vladimir Putin takes. You know, he doesn't indulge and he bans this homosexual propaganda, but I don't think he imprisons homosexuals, does he? I don't think so in Russia.
I really would have to double check, but that's all we really need. Yeah, because human nature will correct for the rest. Stick around, folks. Check out our sponsors, and we will be right back. I'm afraid of America. I'm afraid of the world.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We're back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey here with our Friday roundtable. Today, the panel, Stephen Douglas Whitener, Paul Edward Stevenson, and Jeremy from Kentucky. And we had a couple other topics to get to. There was an article a few of you gentlemen were sharing around, but also, Paul, you just brought up another important point, you know, regarding these shots and the amount of fallout we're going to be seeing. I've already started seeing evidence of. You want to talk about these excess deaths? I can only assume you're referring to the shots.
Yes, absolutely. The non-COVID excess deaths. Now, I remember talking to you, Richard, and probably talking to all of you and Patrick Slattery maybe a year ago when we were speculating about, we'll find out about what, you know, we don't know anything about these vaccines. People have been very blasé about taking them. And we were like, well, we'll find out probably soon enough, maybe in 2 or 5 years' time. And we were somewhat using hyperbole when we said, well, we'll know if everyone starts dropping like flies, that these things are a complete poison and are killing people. And then we sort of speculated that they'll muddy the waters and not cover it and blame it on other things and all that. But That's exactly what is happening. People are dropping like flies. There's some stats here for these are changes in the unknown causes of death over the last 3 years, non-COVID deaths. In 2019, there was 522 unknown causes of death. In 2020 is 1,464, so nearly an extra 1,000. 2021, 3,362 unexplained causes, unknown causes of death. Now, also, and I have to give some credit to a guy called Mark Stein on GB News. I mean, you're not going to get Mark Stein talking about Jews. He supports Israel and everything else. But he's going after the grooming gangs very aggressively. And he talks about it all the time because that is still going on. And the same councils are still complicit in all that. And he's also breaking down this COVID, these excess deaths. He's brought a lot of people on there who've lost family members and spouses and all sorts to and friends to these vaccines. And what they find is very interesting because a lot of them will say, you see, well, correlation doesn't equate to causation. And they're quite right to say that. And they'll say, well, how do you know it's COVID? Well, if it was a few people, then fine. But when you have this mass pattern of people suddenly dying in this massive spike, and then you look and you say, okay, well, what's changed here? What's different? Well, we have these vaccines that no one really knows what they do. What we know they don't do is prevent you from getting COVID or spreading COVID, which is typically historically what a vaccine used to do. But we're into Orwellian territory now, so they can just redefine that. But what they find is in the age groups of the deaths, there's a gap. When they roll out these vaccines, they give them to the elderly first, right? And then there's a kind of a gap between about 14 weeks where the next age group. So say they give the vaccines to the age group of like 70 to 85. They'll be the first to get the vaccine because they're most vulnerable. And then the next group will be 14 weeks later, say from 50 to 75 or whatever. And they find that this is what's happening, that you're having these excess deaths in this age, the higher age groups. And then they can note that 14 weeks later, the deaths are happening in the next age group. And that's fascinating because that is real evidence. It's hard to argue that that's a coincidence because they are arguing it's just coincidence. And we said they'd muddy the waters and correlation doesn't mean causation. But the evidence is coming in. And I thought that was fascinating, the age group of the rollout and then the age group of the unknown deaths is correlating exactly with the rollout and the gap between the rollout and the age groups.
Yeah. Stephen?
Yes, and it's, in the meantime, the ones that aren't dropping dead or getting sick, their immune system is being destroyed, and then that makes everything worse off, too. It's kind of like a 223 that was designed to wound a soldier and leave them down on the battlefield instead of killing them outright, and that way you waste time. You have to waste time in the fight to care for the people they've wounded, and that's kind of the way I look at that, too.
Jeremy, exactly. This is just, yeah.
And Jeremy, do you have something to say on the topic of the shots?
Yeah, I was covering this tonight on my show. Vaccine injury compensation program was set up, for run-of-the-mill vaccines. And basically, the bottom line is it was to get the pressure off of so that people could not sue pharmaceuticals or medical professionals. And they could, send in their case of vaccine injury and wait years and years and years if they get anything at all. But there's another one, a second program designed for vaccines during pandemics. This program has been overwhelmed. Between 2010 and 2020, this countermeasure program received 500 complaints. But in the 2 years since COVID-19, so since 2020, they've gotten over 8,000 complaints in this special program during a pandemic. 8,000 in 2 years in comparison with 500 in 10 years. So, yeah, the clot shots are working on the populace. They're doing what they're intended to do.
Yeah.
I'd like to know more about that. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Paul. Yeah.
No, sorry. Go ahead, Steve.
I'd like to know more about that program. It's been around since that long. The last quote unquote pandemic, wasn't that H1N1? And man, those I was stupid enough to take some of those, and I ain't in the same sense.
Yeah.
So you know.
From what and as far as the depopulation agenda, I mean, I've heard a lot of claims that so far there's been a lot more success in widespread taking of these shots in the white countries rather than in these third world quote unquote people of color nations. I mean, places like India, Africa have already had a past with negative experiences, different shots. Gates personally, for that matter, you know, it's a bad word in India to say Bill Gates already. So, you know, they're a bit more wary because of that alone. But you have to wonder with the depopulation agenda, with the elites, who are they trying to take out first? You know, are they, I mean, with all the immigration, I don't know. I mean, are they trying to take out the people of the so-called first world and, you know, just the developed countries are before, you know, reducing the numbers? Cause obviously, eventually they want to reduce the numbers of the, you know, the tribal masses at some point if they get their way.
Oh, yeah. It was interesting at the time that, you know, there was this kind of criticism, the usual sort of white liberals and, you know, certain news outlets, that the poor Africans, you know, they haven't received the vaccines, you know, the poor left behind Africans haven't had this massive rollout. And of course, then there was some head scratching, because you would expect in a third world country that this pandemic would just be, you know, ravaging Africa with their third world conditions. It'd be like the Grim Reaper is just going to destroy Africa if they didn't get the vaccine. But lo and behold, you know, Africa was fine. They've got a population explosion over there. They didn't take the vaccine, and the African babies keep coming. So I think this is predominantly targeted at white people yet again.
Mm-hmm. And that one article, Paul, you sent it to me, and then Jeremy, you sent it over as well. Multiple sources been covering this. I don't know. Do you want to mention the incident, Paul, this stabbing?
Well, this is a story that I meant to cover last year, because this is typical. These stories come and go, and more often than not, it is a black fella. Or if it's over here and it's a rape story or a grooming gang story, it's a Pakistani Muslim, and they get sort of a little bit of coverage, and then you never hear about it again. But this is a black fella who has a history of violent crime as long as your arm, from 2000, going back from, I think, as far as 2014. And in California, he just constantly gets let out, and you know, treated, you know, like, I don't know, very, you know, leniently, and out he goes again. And this time he murdered some young lady in California in a shop. No provocation. He didn't even know the girl. Walked in and stabbed her 26 times. To add insult to injury, instead of putting your hands up and admitting that you had failed, the judicial system had failed this girl and her family, because this is a known criminal, a repeated criminal with a violent history, the judge then decided not to imprison him. He's going to wait for a so-called, in quotes, wait for it, a mental health evaluation. So that if he comes back and is deemed that he has mental health problems, he won't go to prison. He'll go to a psychiatric ward. So there'll be no justice there. And this is another reason why I hate this mental health movement. This is, you know, because they redefine what a criminal is. If you're going to say that this guy's got mental health problems, the prisons are full of people with mental health problems. Let them all out and put them in a psychiatric ward. We used to call it being a criminal. This guy should be hanged, is what he should. And that's merciful for this scumbag. A young lady in the prime of her life, 26 times he stabbed her. And he could find himself in some psychiatric ward, probably playing pool and watching movies in the evening. I mean, it's disgusting. I mean, that is the whole justice system has completely failed her, completely failed her family, completely failed the community. This is negligence on a huge scale. And the liberal judge there has the temerity, after that crime alone, let alone this absolute demonically possessed, probably scumbag with his history, decided, oh, we'll wait for a mental health evaluation, because he knows they'll come back and say, yes, he's got mental health problems, you know. I mean, but of course, if it was a white guy, he'd been in prison long ago. It's because he's black. He's got black privilege. And he knows it. So he can go around murdering, robbing, knifing, being the scumbag that he is. And then he knows he can do it again.
Yeah, I just want to comment to the heinousness. I mean, and this speaks a little bit to the group behavior of the black gangster culture. Stabbed 25 or 26 times. This reminds me of the recent case of Ethan Lemming's death. You know, in Akron, Ohio, young teenager that fired some paintballs at a group of blacks playing basketball, and four of them just beat him to death and caved his chest in. So it's not just like you got in a fight or you stabbed somebody once or you hit somebody a couple of times. I mean, that was purposeful murder. That was, you know, that wasn't just a crime of passion or a matter of some kids got in a fight. So it's similar to that. You have this horrible group behavior of these black gangsters just, you know, yeah.
And compare that to where Derek Chauvin.
Right.
Derek Chauvin's in prison for life because they deemed he was responsible for a guy had enough fentanyl in his system to kill a rhino. And yet he's in prison for life. No mental health evaluation for Derek.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's infuriating. And it's so blatant. People can't help but see that there's a two-tier justice system. And if you're white, you know, you're going to get the gallows. So it's like, if you speak the truth, then you're a terrorist. But, you know, if you're just murdering somebody, stabbing them 26 times, well, you just have a mental problem. We need to, you know, take care of you and fix you. It's like, well, the insanity of it. It's like that mindset just, it's gotten us to this point. And I don't know what, it's something has to change. People have to wake up and hold people like this judge accountable.
Probably a woman, I would bet. I'm not sure, but I bet she's a woman. Our the Crime Prosecution Service is full of white liberal women wagging the finger at white people for pettiness and allowing real criminals off all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, the racial profiling and how the cases are treated. I mean, this is a beautiful European young girl. Could be a model.
Yes, yeah.
Totally, yeah, could be a model when you look. And then this guy, he looks like he could be right off the boat from Haiti or sub-Saharan Africa's ghettos.
Yeah, exactly. Just an absolute scumbag.
So it's just amazing how it's just all about the optics in this anti-white judicial system, which is just far from having any justice. Stephen.
Thing in Akron that shows how desensitized people are to just escalating to the nth degree, something that would have a couple of generations ago maybe have been a fist fight or at the worst somebody to call the cops. I mean, the guys, you shouldn't shoot somebody with a paintball, but to get beat to death for it, that's ridiculous. And some people have been so desensitized to the violence so much that they think it's a game. Maybe they don't have any self-restraint that they used to, and that's been programmed into people more and more. I think that along with the SSRIs and the MK Ultra type stuff, that's what has led to all these shootings and stuff. People are being triggered for that, and they use that to go after our means of self-defense to make it even more of a collapse. It's just, once you see these patterns, it's infuriating, you know, and it's hard to not notice them. Just, yeah. Yeah, fellas, it can be blackpilling, but, you know, at least we're not oblivious to it. I see some people out in about even still wearing a mask and stuff, and people that have taken these jabs and like, oh, I got to get my next booster. I don't see how anyone could be still that immured with everything, but there are some still, I guess, just totally brainwashed. But more and more people are starting to kind of, hey, something's not right here. And I don't know how to mobilize that into changing things. I don't know. We just have to do it one-on-one and locally, I suppose. That's the only answer.
Yeah. It says here, despite the brutality of the attack, Los Angeles District Attorney George Gaskin's office has suspended criminal proceedings against Smith so he can undergo a mental health evaluation. I mean, I think it's safe to say if you stab someone 26 times, you're probably not going to pass a mental health examination. But, criminals won't pass a mental health examination, okay? It's all about redefining it. It's all about redefining you're not responsible for your behavior. And this happens, in less dark ways within the mental health system as well. It creates dependency on antidepressants and jury-created mumbo-jumbo psychotherapy, rather than turning you to the Lord or whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah, keep you on that treadmill of prescriptions, ailments, and further payments to Big Pharma. We'll be right back, folks. Stick around.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
We are back for the final segment, folks. Beyond the Official Narrative, Republic Broadcasting Richard Carey here with Stephen Douglas Weitener, Paul Edward Stevenson, and Jeremy from Kentucky. And this one's out of the Gateway Pundit, a same hospital, three doctors from the same hospital, folks, die suddenly in the same week after the hospital mandates, wouldn't you guess it, the fourth COVID shot. So this was three physicians at Canada's Trillium Health Partners, Mississauga Hospital, died unexpectedly in the same week. Cause of death from the three doctors yet to be announced, but the news about the three deceased doctors has been going viral since the post. A concerned nurse shared with her a copy of the memo sent by the hospital's management. According to the nurse, the three doctors died after the hospital started mandating the fourth COVID shot for their employees. And, you know, they're claiming that one died after some long bout with cancer. The other two, they're saying, as yet to be determined. That sounds pretty pretty flimsy in trying to obfuscate any potential tie. I don't know. Gentlemen, your thoughts.
At this point, any medical professional that's still pushing these jabs is a complicit criminal, in my point of view. That's the way I see it. You know, they got hoisted on their own petard, so to speak.
Jerry, yes, agreed. Well, I was
just saying, I agree. I was going to say, just for a bit of comic relief, I was for a bit of comic relief, and it's not really funny, really. But of course, we're having the conservative leadership battle over here between Liz Truss and Rishi Sunak. I mean, that's like saying, "How do you want to die? Getting your someone just sawing through your head or sticking a pencil through your eye?" But when they were doing a debate, the moderator, Kate McCann, who's a young woman, I think she's in her early 30s, collapsed. So you hear Liz Truss. At the time, Liz Truss is basically explaining how we need to be hard on Putin because he's going to take over the whole Western world. And suddenly there was just this massive clatter and massive bang. And the moderator had just collapsed. And a young woman, you saw her earlier, she looked absolutely fine. It's not like she was sweating or looked ill or anything. Young woman just in the middle of moderating a debate for the next leader of the Conservative Party just collapsed. Is that the vaccine? I don't know, but it's odd.
Jeremy?
Yeah, the article goes on to mention another doctor in North York General who died this week while out running. So people don't run unless they're runners, and we would assume they have a good cardiovascular system. You put this in conjunction with the data that we read from the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, where we've had 8,000 applications in the last 2 years.
Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure and an honor, as always, to have each of you here with me. And yeah, as Dr. Mercola has been saying, you can only take so many of these mRNA shots before they kill you. But yeah, have a great weekend. Thanks so much, Paul, Stephen, Jeremy.
Thank you, Richard.
Yeah, thanks very much, Paul, Jeremy. It's great. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good to see you, lad.
All right, and folks, please stick around for Dr. Patrick Slattery with National Bugle Radio. That is an excellent broadcast. And we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
The Biden administration has set another record. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. As of 2 days ago, 609 dead bodies have been found on the U.S. side of our southern border this year. The record was previously set by the Biden administration last year. In his first year in office, 566 dead bodies were found. By comparison, before Biden in 2020, 247 bodies were found. The lackadaisical immigration policy of this administration is encouraging people to seek help from cartels and smugglers for the long and dangerous journey. Where is the disgust and outrage over all of the dead brown people? How is this not a headline from every news outlet in the nation? Kids in cages was a headline for over a year. That is nothing compared to 1,175 dead under this administration. until tomorrow. Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle